The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This week on Columbia Calling, with me, your host, Richard McCall, on the Overseas Radio Network, we're going to be talking business in Columbia with an expert in the field. That's Mark Firth, a British business trainer who's lived here since 2011. We're going to talk about the cultural differences, the cultural conflicts, what it's like to do business, and what is really required of you to do business. Also, Mark is a teacher. He's an English teacher, so we get to know about the ins and outs of the English teaching game. So if you're thinking of coming to Columbia and you need to know what to do, how to set up a business, the cultural problems, well, we'll be talking about it all here on Columbia Calling later today. Don't go away.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
The U.S. government has spoken. It wants higher tax rates, capital controls to keep your money under their control, surveillance to spy on your every email. In short, the government wants to control every aspect of your life and make you their slave. As an internationally minded person, you know keeping everything you own in one country could be disastrous. But how do you get started? Announcing Passport to Freedom. In just 3 days, you'll learn how to escape high taxes and reduce or eliminate your tax burden. How to form an offshore corporation or trust. The best places to get a second passport. The best places to expatriate, and more. This 3-day event will reveal everything you need to know about keeping yourself and your assets safe. Tickets to this event in fabulous Las Vegas are extremely limited, so go to PassportOverseas.com. That's PassportOverseas.com. Seats are extremely limited, so register today and take advantage of a special 50% discount for overseas radio listeners. Don't miss this chance to see offshore and expat experts like Joel Nagel, Bobby Casey, Jake DeSillis, Pete Sisko, Andrew Henderson, and more. Go to OverseasPassport.com now and reserve your ticket before the government shuts this opportunity down.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network. Va subiendo la
corriente. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. This is the show on the Overseas Radio Network where we talk about all things Colombian, interview expats, experts in their field, showing you how to make it here, how to do things. This week we have an Englishman called Mark Firth. Mark is a business trainer from Nottingham who's been here since 2011. So we're going to be talking about how to set up businesses, what to expect when you set up a business in Colombia. And of course, he's also an English teacher, and many people, when they come over to a foreign country, fall into that straight away because it's the easiest way of meeting people, earning some money, and getting to know the culture. And so we talk a bit about English teaching in Colombia. But before we get into the second segment, where we talk to Mark, hopefully he'll come here to the studio. What's going on in Colombia? Well, El Dorado. Colombia is El Dorado. Guatavita is El Dorado, supposedly. But El Dorado, the international airport, or the airport in Bogota, has been undergoing the most phenomenal facelift. Well, it's not even a facelift. It's been undergoing just a complete turnaround. It's been refurbed, restored, rebuilt. They've knocked down parts of the old one. So for over about a year now, we've had a new international terminal. Bright, shiny, wonderful. I mean, really, quite a special one. Although in those early morning flights, it's pretty cold too. It gets pretty chilly in there. Anyway, no, it's a luxury airport. You know, you've got your Juan Valdez and you've got other shops in there. But it looks really good. It looks the part for a capital city's airport. But anyway, today, this weekend, this weekend, they inaugurated the other terminal. So we're waiting to hear what people think of the new terminal. Because for those of us who had to make internal flights in Colombia without Avianca being the national carrier, we'd be made to walk to the international terminal and then drag our stuff over to the other old terminal. So we're hoping that it's perfect and that these delays are now finished and we can get to enjoy our new airport. El Dorado is obviously the first port of call and the busiest airport in Colombia, and it should be, you know, a real selling point for the country. You want people to land and think, what a nice airport, and because it's the first thing you see. Anyway, it's pretty flash, and we're proud of it, and we wish it well. We hope there's no sort of growing pains, and that the new airport is a roaring success, and that it works and can lead us for another 50, 60 years since the construction of El Dorado original, which is quite cool when you think of it in a retro sort of way, because kind of retro fashion is in play a lot at the moment. But if you think about that, it was ordered and built by the general Rojas Pinilla. Rojas Pinilla is the only dictator that Colombia has ever had, officially. I mean, the only dictator Colombia has ever had. So anyway, so that was when El Dorado was first built. Now we're watching the second phase of El Dorado, the second life of El Dorado. So that's quite big news for Colombia there. Anyway, last week has been Metal Week in Colombia. I mean, not technically Metal Week, and I'm not talking about metal works, I'm talking about metal music, heavy metal. On Thursday, we were graced by none other than Jane's Addiction. Jane's Addiction, the Los Angeles, they're not grunge, they're a metal outfit. But in Los Angeles, you know, really quite experimental. They really did push the envelope in their album Ritual de lo Habitual, and then, of course, in their latest offering, which was Strays. They played all the hits. They were playing at the Royal Center, which was just around the corner of where I live in Bogota, so it was wonderful for me to be able to get out there and walk home, because it was only about 6 blocks away. But it wasn't completely full, but the Royal Center is a small, it's an intimate setting, and, you know, I might have been at the back because I'm getting a bit long in the tooth to be down at the front, sort of headbanging away. But I was right at the back, but it felt like I was up close. And they were amazing. They played every hit, obviously, and they really connected with the crowd. You know, they really got up there and said, you know, we're happy to be here. He swigged from the aguardiente as he sang, the main singer. He swigged it back. He said he liked it. He said it made him sing better. He was, you know, really, they put on a show. And it was just phenomenal. It was such a special event to see Jane's Addiction in Bogota. And then, so that was Thursday, and I went to that. And then on Saturday, none other than Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath, the Birmingham outfit with Ozzy Osbourne at the helm. Ozzy Osbourne with his Parkinson's and all of his, you know, well-publicized problems. He didn't bite the head off a bat, just so you ask. Just in case you wanted to ask. Anyway, so Ozzy Osbourne, I did not manage to get to this. And the supporting band, Megadeth. So we had, in 1 week, Jane's Addiction. So we had the sleaze of Los Angeles. You know, unbridled feeling that we were in a sort of elite, clandestine strip show type music, and then there was Ozzy, Megadeth opening for Black Sabbath. I mean, they're awesome. We're talking about proper musical history coming to Bogota. It was only a few years ago that no one would come. Since I've lived here, I've seen Roger Waters of formerly of Pink Floyd, and he played all of The Wall and Dark Side of the Moon. I mean, amazing. I've seen Soda Stereo, the Argentine group, amazing again. I've seen Metallica. I've been to see REM. I can't remember who else I've seen, but Jane's Addiction, obviously. And I mean, it's getting pretty special. No, I lie. I've seen Iron Maiden as well here. And so people are coming, but of course they're coming a bit longer in the tooth. I mean, although I have seen, I saw The Killers, and I didn't get to see Muse. So I mean, in that last sort of breath of conversation, there are concerts happening here. We don't have a good, all-encompassing big concert arena. Paul McCartney played in the Campion Stadium, which is the home of football, of soccer here in Bogota, and of course that's fine, but it's not set up for it. If we got a big place, they're talking about bringing U2 down, Red Hot Chili Peppers I've seen here as well. I mean, these are big names. Of course, they're further on in their careers, and they've got they've got enough money under their belt, so a trip down to Bogota, because it's so expensive to set up things down here in this side of the equator. So they've always, you know, bands have always shied away from it at the beginning of their careers, perhaps. But it's changing. You know, this this world that we live in, where everything is so close nowadays. I mean, a friend of mine, when I went to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I put a post on my Facebook page, and a friend said, "Well, you know, the night before yesterday, last they were on Jonathan Ross, a TV show in England, and he was like, 'The mind boggles. It is. How fast you can get across the globe, come up to 2,600 meters above sea level, then give the concert of your life, and then leave.' I mean, it's awesome. Bogota is becoming an international city. There's still a long way to go, but it's becoming an internationally recognized city. With in terms of music, the musicians are you know, aware that there's a phenomenally large fan base here. I mean, a friend of mine as well has been invited into clubs in Bogota to play northern soul music. So he's you know, pulling together his old vinyl to DJ northern soul from, you know, yeah, Liverpool, Manchester, the Mersey. Amazing. So, you know, this is a cultural city. This is a cultural city. It's coming too. And I'm here in Chapinero, which I think is a pretty big heartbeat of the city. So it's pretty exciting. So anyway, so that's my week's been good. I guess at least I can say. And then, so I went to a phenomenal concert. I have no regrets. I'm really happy to have gone. So we're going to go into the second segment shortly. I'll give you a little bit more information. We're talking to Mark Firth, a chap from Nottingham, business trainer, been over here since 2011, made his life. He's making his life here in Colombia, and he's setting up sort of business training here. And he's, you know, he's the best place to talk about what it's like to do business here and what to expect culturally. You know, we talk about economics, and we talk about philosophies, and we talk about work ethics. But culturally, you need to get on board. So if you want to know more about this and you don't have time to listen to the show, or you download it later, look up www.markrfirth.com. And Firth is spelled F-I-R-T-H. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. And we'll be right back with our interview with Mark Firth in the second segment. Thank you.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
It is said that liberty is the only thing you cannot have unless you are willing to give it to others. Do you believe in and want to spread the message of liberty to a younger generation around the world? The Language of Liberty Institute does just that, with camps in developing countries such as Albania, Nigeria, Armenia, and Mozambique. If you want to learn more about this powerful and growing initiative to sponsor, attend, or even become one of the teachers, visit our website at languageofliberty.org to learn more. You can subscribe to email updates or like our Facebook page to follow our activities.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved. Because these legs never grew weak. Because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we're on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. And like I said, we're here today with a very interesting, very special guest today, Mark Firth. A citizen of the United Kingdom, now living here in Colombia. He's been here in Bogota for, well, since 2011, and is another of these expats making it happen, doing things, launching projects, and participating in Colombian society. So welcome, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Now, Mark, listen, we want to talk a little bit about this, because the ventures that you're doing are different. I mean, you're an English teacher, but your real role, so let's say, background is that of a business trainer.
Mm.
And you're attempting, or you are launching that now here in Colombia.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my background. I worked for many years in business-to-business sales. Like many people, I reached my late 20s and decided to take a bit of a break, which initially was going to be a year. I arrived in Colombia 2.5, nearly 3 years later. I'm still here. Like many people here, I started teaching English to make ends meet, just to allow myself to stay here. But from that, I've gradually progressed into training and what I used to do. Sales, negotiations, and these sort of things, but with a focus on cross-cultural
and
training.
This is something that you've seen a real necessity for, a real need for here in Colombia.
Yes, well, obviously, listeners to this show will be fully aware of the changes taking place in Colombia, the entrance of various brands, the exports, imports, the growth statistics for the Colombian economy. All amounts to doing business across cultures. You've got various multinationals setting up offices. You've got Colombians trying to do business in the States, the free trade agreements with the EU, with, I believe there's one being negotiated fairly recently with India. Is that correct?
India, South Korea, yeah. Canada, I mean, you name it.
and look, doing business is not simple within your own country.
Yeah.
Throw into the mix hugely complex and diverging cultures, and, you know, it gets difficult. And we're not talking here about a transaction over the telephone. We're talking here about, you know, big mergers, acquisitions, long-term projects where there's daily interaction, heavy interaction, lots of money at stake. So it's important that the values and the cultures are understood.
What do you think then in this? Because, I mean, I've looked at your blog, I've looked at your company website, and for those who are interested, it's markfirth.com.
Markrfirth.com.
Markrfirth.com, I'm very sorry.
Unfortunately, someone had the markfirth.com. So I finally made use of my middle name after all these years.
Very good. I understand fully that. Markrfirth.com, yeah. And Firth is spelled F-I-R-T-H. Listen, you've got a blog on there, and you talk about cultural awareness workshops, and of course, we're here in Colombia, so when we're catering to a crowd who are interested in and knowledgeable in Colombia, or want to be knowledgeable in Colombia, you have a blog discussing finding Colombian culture. Now, this is something that's really very important here, because I feel that this country is, well, we all know that this country is incredibly regionalistic, more so than the United Kingdom, let's say, and you know, what is a symbol? You know, what is a symbol of being Colombian then? How is it that we find a Colombian culture?
There's a number of ways to answer that question, but the foundation, if you like, the fundamental elements behind that question are this. Culture is made up of various parts. There's visible parts.
Yeah.
If you go on holiday to Spain, you see certain sights, sounds, food, people, and that's just the surface, if you like, the tip of the iceberg. Once you go below the surface, you get down to the values, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they're the things that make the difference. Those are the things you can't see. Those are the things that you're only going to become aware of by spending time in that culture, by seeing family interactions, business interactions. And that is what I'm interested in teaching people about in Colombia.
So these are intangible values?
Yes. It would come down to things like how family is regarded, individualism versus collectivism. Take, for example, we're from the UK,
yeah,
a highly individualistic company, when the self is thought of.
Yes.
In fact, USA, UK, Australia, New Zealand, most of the English-speaking world is highly individualistic. Canada. Colombia is one of the most collective, according to, well, just we're going into detail about the facts behind this, but there's various studies and there's various foundations behind these statistics. Colombia is one of the most collectivist countries on the planet. I think it's third most collectivist country on the planet. I'm not sure. I don't have the stats to hand.
That's
but basically means people think of the group, of the family.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of the fundamental differences when you're doing business and when you're dealing with Colombian culture.
Well, I mean, it's something that we talk about always on this show, and when I'm discussing with people, and the family bonds here.
Yes.
And, of course, it's not only that. It's almost as if almost everyone is family. Not just because of the good Catholic culture and everyone's cousins and nephews and nieces. But you go to a meeting, and the first 10 minutes is small talk about how's the family. I guess it's one of those key cultural, the crux of the culture here that you have to come to terms with.
Yes, it's hugely strong. And the way this dimension of culture is actually introduced in the literature, it talks about, it gives an example, an anecdote about, do you know your neighbours? So we're not just talking about family per se, we're talking about the community. The bonds between neighbours, between family, between the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just between family, it's ingrained in everything.
Very interesting then, Mike. So you're launching these cultural awareness workshops. What does this entail?
What does it entail? Well, I'm going to be focusing on business. I'm going to be focusing on people doing business across cultures. So selling, providing services or managing. And it's going to involve me understanding what their specific role is. For instance, it's going to be two different things. If they're selling, it's one thing. If they're managing, it's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be teaching them that what they need to be aware of doing business here. Because I'll be honest with you, another part of what I do have an English teaching business,
mm-hmm.
which involves spending a lot of time with Colombians, and it involves selling in Colombia.
Yeah.
It's not simple. You ask. Just last night, I was at a... At an event, and I was talking with an American guy with an import business, and he was displaying frustration with the amount of meetings you go through, the amount of time. It's not simple here. There are various things you need to be aware of, there are various things you need to do, and there are various things you cannot do.
Right.
And these workshops are going to focus on two things, the differences, but it's also going to focus on the common ground.
Uh-huh.
Between the cultures.
So therefore you're taking let's say English culture, and you're establishing the differences so that your clients understand the differences.
Yeah.
What kind of differences are we looking at?
Oh, there's many. Take for example the importance of a contract. In the US and the UK, in my experience, the contract is the contract.
Yes.
What's written in there is the bond. But In the culture, certainly a lot of Latin America, the contracts exist, but it's almost a byproduct of the agreement you have between yourselves as people.
Mm-hmm.
That's one example. The directness is a big difference, certainly between the UK and even more so between the US and Colombia. The directness, getting down to business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more subtle here, in terms of it's as you referenced to at the beginning of the meeting. Sometimes it's straight down to business in my experience in the UK, yes. Just little things like this, and also the way you would manage the employees. The relationship between management and employee here tends to be a lot more autocratic, a lot more structured, and that's down to another dimension of culture, which is known as power distance, and it's basically, to sum it up, it's how readily people accept inequalities in power.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I mean, you're touching on points here that I think date all the way back to the colonial period, really, almost a feudalism in power.
Yeah.
Just my little reference on my own personal experiences. I run a business. I have a small hotel in Mompos that the listeners will know of. And I don't enjoy reprimanding, and I don't enjoy being exactly like the top boss.
Mm.
I prefer to treat employees as I hope that they would treat me, you know, let's say with a certain degree of educación, so politeness, and you know, just a refined treatment. Therefore, there is mutual respect. I find with my manager, my cleaning staff, etc., this has enabled a very pleasant and agreeable workplace. But I don't see it in many other businesses here.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, I'd just like to point out one thing. We're just obviously discussing cultural differences here.
Mm.
And there is no right or wrong.
Right.
We're not saying one is right, we're not saying one is wrong. Fundamentally, a fundamental point in the first chapter, and in all this literature, is there's no right, there's no wrong, there's differences.
Yeah.
And this is talking about the awareness problem. And I agree with you. It's a style that's very alien to me. Mm-hmm. And that's because culture is something that's learned. This is a fundamental point. Culture is something that's learned. It's not genetic. And it's something you learn through school, the relationship with your teachers, the relationship with your parents, the relationships with other people. And in the UK, we're taught a different...
Yes.
And we're used to a different type of management and relationships.
Very true. Listen, well, this is Columbia Calling, if you've just tuned in. I'm Richard McCall, your host. We're talking to Mark Firth, who's a business trainer from the UK, living here in Columbia. We're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. For the jet-setting beach bum, a problem eventually arises. Where do you go in the world for a new beach fix after your travels have taken you to the usual sandy spots around the world? Well, that's an easy one. It's time to get experimental. Everyone and their brother has hit the tropical white sand beaches, encircled with swaying palm trees and turquoise water nibbling at the shore. Are you ready for one with a twist on the theme? Check out the resort complex San Alfonso del Mar in Algarabo, Chile, for the world's largest swimming pool. This one should definitely be added to your bucket travels list. What do you do when you are a world-renowned resort located smack dab on the Pacific coast in Chile? Normally, whoop for joy that you can charge top dollar for the proximity to the ocean. But this particular stretch of ocean offers 63-degree year-round temperatures, dangerous waves, and rip currents. Ouch. Plunging nightly rates. Until some brainiac figured it would be a good idea to build the world's largest swimming pool mere feet from the ocean. Turns out, it was a good idea. This massive saltwater swimming pool remains a constant 79 degrees. No tides, sharks, or stingrays to ruin the day either. How big is big? Try half a mile long and hold 66 million gallons of water. It looks more like a lake. Add in a white sand perimeter, palm trees, and docks for sailors to ply their hobby. You heard correctly, sailing in the pool. And if you get a wild urge to experience Mother Nature's version of water, it's only a few steps to the real deal. We're betting you'll be back in the pool before long. How's that for a jolt to your usual beach travels? For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Va subiendo la corriente.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. We're here in Bogota with Mark Firth, a business trainer from the UK who's been in Columbia since 2011. And we're talking about really sort of cross-cultural training. You know, Mark and I have been discussing the differences between cultures and how to do business. And Mark is setting up this, well, he's set up this business and he's starting out on these business training models. And I assume what you're trying to do is for those foreign companies coming over, is train them up in how to do business in Colombia.
Yes, exactly that.
All right. So now, someone wants to get in touch with you and say, listen, there's a mega multinational coming over. You've been headhunted. Mm-hmm. How do they get in touch with you? Let's just give you a good pitch here.
How do they get in touch? Best ways through the website.
Through the website.
Through the website, email, phone. I have numerous ways to get in contact. I did my social media training.
Okay.
You can click any one of those buttons.
Any one of those buttons at markrfirth.com,
yes,
and you'll
correct.
Find out. And there's lots of interesting information on there. The most recent blog has been about finding Colombian culture. And I want to go back to this because there a few years ago, and I think before 2011 in Colombia, they tried to decide on what was the symbol for Colombia. And this has been a big deal, especially in the tourism campaigns, is how do we have Colombia? Peru has Machu Picchu, but of course Machu Picchu does not represent all of Peru. England more or less is a thatched cottage and the Union Jack, but everybody knows our flag, the Union Jack.
Yes,
exactly.
True.
You know, and if you're taking the US, you're probably going to take something like the Statue of Liberty or the Grand Canyon, you know, or the Monuments Valley, you know.
Yeah.
But you take Colombia and it has a lot of things, but not, let's say, masses of one thing. And so they did this huge, questionnaire.
Yeah.
And it was to say, what's the most Colombian symbol? And of course, the coastal volteado hat came out as a number one.
Yes, maybe.
But it's the coast. And the coast is very much apart from, let's say, the Andean region or from the south. You know, what does someone in Pasto, you know, in Cauca, or Nariño, Pasto, Nariño, Cauca, I don't remember, in the south or in Putumayo have to do with his hat? Of course, he understands that it represents something in Colombia, but it's not wholly represented.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, for Colombia, this is one of the big issues that I'm always dealing with in my writings. Is this sort of a striving for an identity?
Mm. Well, it's an interesting point, and for me, it's interesting because going back to the various parts of what makes up culture, the tip of the iceberg, the bit you see, and is the symbol. And the symbol can be a building, it can be a bird, and the point I want to make is it's fluid. It can be a person. What I always associated with Colombia when I was young was Valderrama.
Yeah, very good.
Carlos Valderrama. And the symbol can be fluid. But yeah, I think for me, if you were to Google Colombian symbols, there's a Wikipedia page, there's a couple of blogs, and consistently you have the eagle, you have the hat, you have the accordion.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it would be.
I find it hard because Vallenato, you know, it's from Cesar originally, La Guajira, but two regions. Cesar is not coastal, but it has a coastal attitude, and La Guajira is coastal. It doesn't represent Bogota, for example, although the people here clearly enjoy it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's just one of the things about being in Colombia is that it is incredibly divided, incredibly. You know, you know when someone's from Medellin, they're a paisa. You can hear the accent.
And you probably know more than me on this subject, but I believe that goes back to the fact that, you know, we're looking here at a map in the studio. There's two huge mountain ranges across the country.
Yeah.
So until relatively recently, the last 100 years, the country's been pretty separated, hasn't it?
Well, and each department developed alone. And so every departmental capital, the departments here are states or counties.
Yeah.
So you've got, let's say, Santander had no connection to Bogota. So Bucaramanga, for example, which is the departmental capital, was able to be completely self-sufficient on their production of food, or let's say leather production for clothes and education. And that's how Colombia developed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the infrastructure. The infrastructure was not built sort of to open up the countryside. It just linked towns to one another, and that's, again, what's strangling the country.
That's a moving feast. What did I see in the news? I didn't read the story in detail, unfortunately, because I was on the way to a meeting and my data connection lost. But I believe there's been some great agreement for a rail connection with the Chinese this week. Is that correct?
There is something going on. Now, I'm not entirely sure about
it. I've seen various rumours and various forms of this over the past few years, but they're looking at improving this infrastructure even more to get the goods out of the country, because I can't remember the facts, but I think to get something from the Atlantic coast to Miami is vastly cheaper than getting it from Bogota to the specific coast by land.
And Bogota to Buenaventura in the container costs more than Buenaventura to China.
Wow.
I mean, that's straight up. That was in The Economist, so there and someone else can source me on that one. But so we were talking a little bit. I'm going to go back on one of the cultural things.
Yeah.
I've tried to organize my life after however many years abroad, I'm not 16 or so, to have as few meetings as possible.
Okay.
This is not a meeting. I call this is an interview, as a chat, whatever. But this is what I try to do. And yet I come to Colombia and I've probably have five times as many meetings as I would have done back in the UK.
Well, let's take a step back and look at the role of meetings. The role of meetings varies. I'm not going to go into specifics of countries, but in some countries, a meeting reinforces various norms and various. Reinforces power in the business. It gives people the opportunity to reinforce what they want. It's not actually there to be productive. In some companies, in some countries, you'll go to the meeting and that is there. You get it done. You're there for a specific point.
Yeah.
In Colombia, yes, there are a lot of meetings.
There are a lot of meetings, and everyone's always saying, "Let's organise a meeting," and I just start to shudder.
I mean, I haven't looked in detail. If I'm honest, I haven't looked in detail for the reason for this. But I would imagine, and it is going back to related to that. You know, it's a group decision making process here. I've heard before. I've had a client say to me, oh, "Don't worry, I don't need this. My my contact's lived in the States. He understands my culture." And I said, "Yes, but is he the only guy that's making the decision?"
Yeah.
No, I mean, here there's in the UK. I mean, I'm used to complex decision making. Committees. Yeah. It always makes me shudder hearing the word committee.
Yeah.
I look at it here as every place is one big committee.
Yeah. And everyone has to have their say.
Yes.
And true. I think the best representation of that is the map for the Transmillennial system in Bogota.
Oh, really?
I just look at it and I go, well, who was behind naming this bus line J52? Why isn't it just Purple Line? You know, why is it, oh, I have to go on D17? It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sure they've got some sort of rhyme and rhythm to it, but... Ugh.
Someone's just launched an app, like the London Tube map.
Yeah, for here?
Yeah, for here. It's come out the same group that launched Tapsy, I believe.
Okay.
I have to check my source on this, but it's certainly from that community.
Yeah.
Because if you read, this is another subject entirely, but there's a big startup community here in Bogota, and it's had some good press recently, and they've just released an app where you can put in your... It existed on the internet, but it's never been on an app, so that helps, because the stations are complicated.
Tapsy, for those of you who don't know, is an app on your phone or whatever, by which you can order secure taxis, and highly recommended if you're coming here to Bogota. The Transmilenio again is the bendy bus system, a kind of modern tram system that they're sort of. It's always in a stage of evolution because it was only designed for the year that it was created back in like 2002, and yet it's going through various phases and needs to be updated massively.
I think it's great as long as you're not in peak hour.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Just don't bother.
Yeah, because you're stuck there with a whole load of mouth breathers and pickpockets. But if you're going at, like, say 10 or 11 a.m. Or 3 a.m. or 3 a.m. 3 p.m. you've got every seat to yourself. Okay, so we've talked about meetings and contracts. Now, contracts, quickly, what you were mentioning in the last segment, contracts don't mean anything here. I don't. I mean, you prove me wrong, please.
Well, yes. Again, it's coming back. The personal relationship is king everywhere.
Yeah.
But the personal relationship here is king and emperor. It's everything.
Yeah.
You know? The contract does exist, but let's say you've got a contractual problem. If you, like any legal system in the world, it's going to take you time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the personal relationship is king, and the contract is there. The contract does exist, and you have to. It's quite ironic, really, but you have to have the T's crossed and the I's dotted contractually,
of course,
even if it can't be enforced, because otherwise it can cause you problems.
You need to protect yourself.
I'm aware that's an oxymoron, and I'm contradicting both parts of the sentence. But yeah, you do need to protect yourself at the same time as being being aware that the personal relationship is very important.
It is very important, and I mean, everything, like, we will continually go back to the same point. Family. It's almost like everything's a family business and everything's family run. It's all about appearances as well.
I won't go into this in detail, but there is another model of culture which talks about high context cultures and low context cultures.
Uh-huh.
And that refers to how much is expected that's known when you're in the room. The contract. For instance, if you go into a meeting here, you're expected to know what's going on, the relationships, everything is expected to be known. On the other side, it's in the contract.
Yeah, yeah. Very true. Very interesting. Mm. Now, okay, so we're talking about these cross-cultural results, and we're talking about your business training. Aside from the things mentioned, and aside from various negativisms or whatever, but this is a good place to be. But what?
Yeah, I just point out again, going back to this point, I like to reinforce it because obviously there's no right or wrong, and this is a great culture. I think it's a great culture to do business in. If you can get your head around the differences, it's growing, it's ambitious.
Yes,
they're exporting, and it is a fantastic place to do business. Let me make that point. Yeah,
when you make that breakthrough, I mean, that's the thing, because this is a new country, this is a new society, and we're not sort of, let's say, held back by the restrictions of history.
No.
I found myself very much restricted. It has been a long time since I lived in the UK, but I couldn't have started up a business and lived the way I live here back in England.
Well, we're going to the realms of social mobility there, aren't we? And I try and stay in contact with the UK news, and I think I've seen various stats on it. But yeah, I don't believe. I haven't got sources, but yeah, it's here. You know, as any expat will know, that I believe we're talking to various expats on the radio now. You do have an advantage being in a foreign culture.
Yes, we do have an advantage.
We do have an advantage, and you know, in the UK, just another one in the crowd.
Yes, this is true. This is very true. Again, we do need to remember that we are guests here. We do have an advantage, but also we are participating. Mm. So that's a big difference. We're not just hippies sitting on the beach. I mean, with people trying to set things up.
Just participating, we're adding things. I mean, ultimately, I love this country. That's why I live here. And the reason behind setting up this business is I want to, aside from the fact I'm passionate about culture, I want to help this country grow. I want to help various people want to do business coming into Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mike. We're ending the second segment now. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're here with Mark Firth, a business trainer from the UK. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you've always dreamed of. But you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed internet, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing a round of golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all the year. Yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-twos. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home. For more information, email Mike at MikesGringoLife.com. That's Mike at MikesGringoLife.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya.
And we're back in the final segment of Colombia Calling today. We're here with Mark Firth, a British business trainer from Nottingham, way up in the north. I'm Richard McCall, your host. We've been talking all things cultural Colombian, how to sort of, you know, get across the cultural divide, how to make a successful life here. Mark's been here since 2011. The last thing we were talking about before we went into the break was that Mark, you know, he said he loves being here. He's passionate about culture. It's a great place to do business, you know, once you've got the nuances, you've understood them. But also, you know, I think there's a great big, out of the expat communities, there's a great deal of altruism. And the people who come here want to help. They see possibilities for the future for Colombia.
Mm. Yes, well, as I referenced to earlier, I spent, for me it comes from doing something I'm passionate about. I spent nearly 10 years in business-to-business sales, which is explaining difficult concepts to people, technology sales, to explaining difficult concepts in a way to get people's buy-in. And through coming here and starting the teaching, starting the training, I actually found I like doing the training. I like giving back. Mm-hmm. I like doing the education. So it's kind of like a step by step. One thing's led to another for me, and I just really enjoy training. I really enjoy teaching. I really enjoy giving something back to people.
Yeah.
And because I'm passionate about this country, that also the next step is to the country.
So excellent. I know you're a people person.
Yeah.
Because you're teaching.
Yes.
Tell us about this role of the teacher.
Okay. So yes, this is I believe the English teaching industry. So I would say this is a big industry here in Colombia, and I believe there will be some interest in people wanting to understand a little bit more about how it works.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I started teaching because I wanted to stay here, and it was the easy thing to do. I didn't realise I would enjoy it so much. Mm-hmm. There is huge market demand here, and there is also a huge lack of information for people researching to come here. As mm-hmm. I know, when I tried to research Colombia, as I say, the country's booming, it's exporting, it's doing business all over the world. People need to speak English.
And the level of English is pretty low.
Yes, I mean that again would be going to depending on what school you've been to and so forth.
Yeah.
But yes, generally speaking, as a percentage of the entire population of Colombia, the level of English speaking is not high. I mean, I've been involved in projects for the public education system. I've been involved teaching big business. I've been involved in teaching kids, and I've seen every part of that. There's not a huge level of English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
So you got into the English thing, you
yep.
set up your own business
yep.
and everything, and now how did you go about finding your clients?
Well, look, English teaching, it's like any other business. It is a hard business, there's
yeah.
challenges, you have to market yourself, you're selling against other people. There's no such thing as an easy business,
yeah.
And it brings with it challenges that you would find in any of the other business, and obviously you're selling business to business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm selling business to business. You can obviously sell direct to the consumer. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's a rewarding business. Here, going back to the cultural thing again, because you can speak the same language, but not necessarily speak the same language. If that makes sense, this is, the communication. It's about contacts. Like anywhere in the world, it's about contacts. Making the contacts. Especially here, I had a friend that came. Give you an example. A friend came over from Brazil. In Brazil, he put an advert on the internet on one of these classified pages. Within a few weeks, he was full. He was teaching independently. Here, that's not going to happen.
Mm.
Everything is word of mouth. Everything is word of mouth. So, if you want to start teaching independently here, you have to get your name about, and you have to. There's no point in advertising. Your advertisement is your clients.
Yeah, and now you've got a reputation. You've got
yeah.
you have a contract with the British Embassy.
Yep.
So of course that's a massive calling card for you.
Yes, that's a huge help
because of course appearance and yeah. contacts and references are everything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so I've been lucky. I arrived and I receive weekly a number of calls requesting classes. And it just takes a question of time. I mean,
yeah.
you're not going to come here and do it overnight if you want to set up independently. Mm-hmm. However, for anyone that is thinking of coming and teaching English over here, you're not going to have a problem finding a job.
Right.
As with every walk of life, there are various qualities and levels and reliability of the jobs. But there's some great businesses here. There's some great businesses.
Now, would you suggest to people thinking of coming over to Colombia, well, I want to go over, I want to learn about the culture, I want to understand Colombia, affiliating themselves with some sort of English school?
Well, my take on this is this, Richard. I think that a lot of people come and do, I was guilty of this, they come and teach English because it's an easy way to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
But teaching language is a difficult thing. I think, my personal opinion, my take on this, is it's something you should do if you're passionate about it, if you're patient, if you want to teach the language.
Right.
Then you're going to be a great English teacher and you're going to enjoy your life here. If you come here and you do it to try and stay, I was lucky. I found out. If you come here and to do it to try and stay, it can be a difficult life. You're ultimately doing a job you're not going to be enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
Travelling around the city, it can be difficult.
And that's one of the big
yeah.
challenges you have, is that
yeah.
you have to, hike it up to the north and back
yeah.
down. And this is not that much fun.
It's not that. It has a novelty factor at first, but ultimately, with time, you can show. If obviously, if it's beyond your control, if you're working for an institute or an organisation, where it's telling you where to go. But
mm.
I've managed to shape it. Most of my clients are pretty close to where I live now.
Well, because you've sorted them out this way.
Yeah.
But also another thing I want to know: how's the pay? Don't need to reveal the secrets of the trade.
Okay.
Can you live off this?
Okay, yeah. There's various different levels of English teaching. I mean, at the very high level, you would have the guys working in the schools, the international schools. They're a very good salary.
Yeah.
They're going to have a very, very good lifestyle here. They're going to be able to live in a nice... I'll give it you like this. They're going to be able to live in a nice neighbourhood. They're going to be able to eat at nice restaurants. And they're going to be able to save money.
Yeah.
Going down below that will probably be the next band, which is university and the British Council and so forth. Again, yeah, you're going to have a great lifestyle. Next level down is the institutes, which are the more of the smaller organisations, many of them, which are teaching in the very competitive market. On that sort of salary, which I did for a year, you can have a good lifestyle, okay? But you're not going to be living up in the Hilton every Friday night, if that makes sense. You can have a decent accommodation, a decent area, you can eat well. You're probably not going to save money, and you probably need... In fact, let me answer it like this. My knowledge of Latin America, there's not many countries where you can actually live. There's a lot of countries where you might actually lose money teaching English. Colombia, you can live.
So you
can have a good lifestyle here.
It's not just about survival. It's more comfortable than survival.
It's comfortable. It obviously depends on your spending preferences, but you can easily have a decent lifestyle here teaching at an institute.
Many people do.
And that's unusual in Latin America.
This is true, because I take the comparison. I don't really know a great deal about it. I've only taught English on two occasions. Once way back in a private school in Guatemala, and then before that in Ukraine.
Well, let me give you some brief facts. A typical institute teacher will probably take around 2.4 million, which roughly, let's divide that by two into dollars. What's that?
$1,200 a month.
Yeah. Accommodation, you're looking at for rent and everything, $300 to $400.
Yeah.
So there you are, that's the facts you need. It's not Bogota's an expensive city, don't get me wrong, but yeah. you can. But then again, if you can, this is why it's such a difficult question to answer. We're looking at the sector. If I take a bus 5 minutes down there, I'll pay $3,000 for a beer. I take a bus the same distance north, I'll be paying $10,000-$15,000 for a beer, you know?
Yeah, this is true.
I hope that gives an idea.
Yeah, it's definitely. The Guardian, was it the Guardian or the Economist that used to do the Big Mac Index?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Big Mac, yes.
Yeah. So, but here we could do it on the beer index. It's true.
You can pay a lot for a beer or a cocktail.
I paid $11,000 for one last night a concert. Yeah,
I paid $20,000 for a cocktail. But then the happy hours. That's another story. But yeah.
Okay. Well, so moving. We're winding down the show. A few more minutes left, but. So it's been really interesting talking to you about sort of the cultural differences and your business training plans, and of course teaching, because many people do come out here, and so I hope we get a good pickup on this show. But I want to talk, you know, there's change is happening in Colombia now, and I don't want to talk about the sort of I don't really want to talk about the guerrilla and stuff like that in this show. I want to, you know, the main change that we see are the brands coming in.
You've been here 7 years. You've seen a more fundamental change than me. But I've lived and worked in the US, Canada, the UK. I've never seen the pace of change here. I mean, talking about the brand, Subway is the one that sticks in my mind. When I arrived, I can't remember there being a Subway. Now there's one on every corner. You can walk down 15, it's every block.
Yeah.
That's another big... It's these franchises. These franchises, they're not big business for no reason. They're great businesses. They can replicate and they can multiply. Starbucks is coming.
Yeah.
Burger King. McDonald's.
Krispy Kreme's.
These are great, great businesses, and they've not got where they are through being Muppets. They know what they're doing, and they've spotted the potential in Colombia, and this is, you know, it's going to be wave after wave after wave.
And these aren't, let's say, you know, to eat at McDonald's, for example, it's not exactly cheap.
No, it's not. And I heard an interesting fact, actually. I can't, please source me on this, or someone knows, but I read that the McDonald's actually run their restaurants here themselves. Huh. Rather than franchise, I have to check that. There's not many, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap. An almuerzo, like a lunch here, 6,000-7,000. McDonald's, 12,000-15,000.
Yeah. When you've supersized and everything,
it doesn't translate. It's the same price as it would be in dollars, but in pesos. Yeah. And obviously, the cost of living here is lower.
Which means that the people here now have a more disposable income.
Oh, the middle class is growing. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, there was all this furor when Starbucks announced that they were coming. Oh, you know, how can they come to the home of coffee, etc., etc. Business and competition is good.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of Starbucks, but if I don't know where they source their coffee, but if they're sourcing their coffee in Colombia and if they're creating jobs and if they're making a certain segment of society happy, who am I to argue with that? I personally won't be stopping by and having a coffee in Starbucks, but, you know, greater good.
Yeah, well, that's what I figure. I mean, if they're sourcing Arabica from Quindío, the coffee zone, then why shouldn't we be buying in Starbucks there? And it, you know, some people prefer it, other people don't. I really like Oma. That's my preferred brand over Juan Valdez, but I'll go to Juan Valdez. But you know, if Starbucks were offering a high quality, you know, cost effective brand, it's very possible I'll buy it.
Yeah, I wonder where they will source their coffee. Yeah. Do you think?
Well, I would be a bit upset.
Yeah.
To see sort of all the Ethiopian brands or Sumatran coffee, things that are perhaps, you know, we've got so much here. You know, it would be a bit disappointing if I don't mind it as a tester, but to take over the Colombian market would be slightly upset.
The one I'm surprised is not here, you'll know this, I'm surprised they're not here, and actually I looked on their website and they are it's Yo Sushi.
Huh.
So sushi is huge here.
Yeah.
And Yo Sushi are not yet in Colombia. And I looked on their website, the franchise system, and if there's any restaurant owners out there in Colombia that have experience with the industry, there is a business that's going to work.
Yeah, okay? Yo Sushi would work.
It will work.
Well, yeah. And what's the other big thing opened in the north that I have no idea about, but American friends have told me? P.F. Chang?
Oh, yeah, that's where I live, yeah. I haven't been. It's opposite one of where one of my friends live. I believe it's Asian cuisine.
It's like Chinese food or something. But apparently in the US, it's not really upmarket. But here it's treated as like the best thing ever.
To be fair, it's a big building, a prime plot of land.
It used to be a Blockbuster.
Yeah. Oh, well, there we go, yeah.
That building used to be a Blockbuster and a laundrette. Now it's just a P.F. Chang's, but it's huge.
Yeah.
And there's sort of Ming, faux Ming horses outside and everything.
There's a Taco Bell. I mean, I'm not a big fast food fan, but I do like Taco Bell. There's one of them in Teton Plaza
and in Atlantis Plaza.
So
as well.
These franchise businesses, but I tell you, sushi is good here.
Well, that's very interesting. So we've been talking to Mark Firth. You can check out his website. That's markrfirth.com. He's available for English teaching and, of course, for business training. He's been here in Colombia since 2011, knows all about the country. It's been a real pleasure to have you here on the show, Mark. Thank you for your time. I hope we drive you some business. You've been listening to Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. Thank you for listening.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.